Hello, hello everyone.
Hi, Eloise. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Good.
It's
Sunny?
April 21st, and it's snowing here. A little bit
Oh.
on the cool side. So,
Wow.
for
We're
those of you
recording
who
for the 5th of May.
well, we're actually going to change things around. As we said, so some of this is going to be on video, and things are going to clash a little bit in times because we pre-record some of these, and yeah, you might see videos of it for different dates. So for the podcast, it's going to be May 5th, you said,
Yeah.
and it'll go out on video earlier. Till we synchronize everything. Since we decided to change the format, you're going to have a couple of tarot readings out there that use the card of the week that would tell you what exactly is going on for that week. But now we've gone back to our original format, which is just discussing a topic. So one of the things that, I'd like to, that's really burning topic for me is one of the rules or laws really of the universe, which is everything has a gender. So, whatever we look at, whatever school of thought people are in, they go, hey, everything's a phallic symbol. And then you go to other schools of thought, everything's a yoni symbol. And of course, the two of them are both occurring at the same time, even in electricity, right? Just sticking our prong for the computer or your phone into the slot. There you've got phallus and or masculine going into the feminine. There's the masculine polarity and feminine polarity or rotation, actually. That's not my forte to talk about electricity, that's for sure. But you can see it everywhere. Just a nut and bolt, sorry, a nut and bolt is feminine and masculine. So everything has a gender.
Yep.
And we struggle with that because within us we can be a little bit more feminine or masculine, and it depends on periods of time in our lives, right? So you and I relate to when we're very active with our work and doing different things, we go very much into our masculine. And then, of course, the feminine is always interacting. If I'm doing secretarial work, usually that's the feminine because it requires it requires feminine energy to do that. And as I've brought up many times, just going back to before we became all mottled with our ideas about life, the early concepts of feminine and masculine, the early concepts of honoring feminine and masculine, or ways in which people did it ritualistically, is different than today. We seem to have kind of, mutated the two and crossed them over. So when we do tarot, oftentimes that gets confused. So I just thought we could, maybe you could even evoke some thoughts for me through questions. When we're looking at a reading, let's say, and it's got the majority feminine cards, and there's a man in front of us, it may mean there are a lot of women in his life. Sure, it could mean that. But it could also mean he's strongly in his feminine at that point in time, and vice versa. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when I go back and I look at, well, if it went before birth control and maybe hundreds of years ago, if you think of people who foraged, so, and then the men went out and hunted, especially in areas where I live in Canada, you know, winter is long. You don't have very much growing, you know, there was no preservation and you would have to hunt to be able to have food. You know, and I remember Krishnamurti once said, I won't hurt another living being, but don't ask me what I would do if I lived in the North Pole.
Mm.
You know, it only makes sense because if you're not going to hurt, I have my own assessments. You can all think about it in your own way. But for me, it was, well, okay, you're not going to hurt another living being. But if you believe you shouldn't hurt another living being, then would you kill, you know, a polar bear or a seal or not? Well, now you're in a conundrum because if you don't kill to keep your body alive and you prefer to die, you're still killing something.
Yeah.
What a conundrum, right? Oh, I'm not going to hurt another living being, but I'm still going to hurt a living being if I don't eat meat. So it's like nature really shows us how to, you know, make simple assessments. Of course, we have an intellect that we can use. So if we have abundance of fruits and vegetables and all kinds of things, well, yeah, we could prefer not to hurt a living being. But we also have to remember there are these constant paradoxes going on. And the mind absolutely cannot understand paradox. And that is very clear when you listen to someone talking about a problem. You can hear them making two contradictory statements that both seem true and can be true in different circumstances, but they can't see that they're using one opposite and the other opposite, or the two opposing ideas to put themselves in a conundrum. So if I'm in the North Pole, I don't want to hurt any living being. So now what do I do? Hmm. I'm stuck. Because if I kill another, I've hurt a being. And if I don't eat something and kill another, then I'm going to kill myself. So now I'm stuck.
Yep.
Yeah, that's huge to think about. You know, I thought about that for a decade. It was very convoluting to my mind. I was like, wow, yeah, right. How does the mind deal with it? Well, it deals with it by trying to justify. But ultimately, one is going to die.
Mm.
One is going to die, and you get to choose. And, you know, to me, when it comes to nature, sure, you could give up and you die. Okay. But what are you dying for? Because an organism will try to live no matter what. Your body tries to live no matter what. So I'm going against nature via my belief system. So I'm not really, I'm not very natural, I would say. Right? It's like, you know, if we say we're not going to kill anything ever 100%, well, then, you know, we're denying nature.
Mm.
And we have these other paradoxes where we think that we know what animals think. And I say we because, you know, I do it in my own way, maybe not in this particular instance, but, you know, justifying why an animal would do something and yet in the second breath anthropomorphizing them.
Yeah.
Right? So my favorite story is, I don't know much about cats. We were allergic to furry animals as children, me and my sister. So we had birds. I still have birds. And, you know, I went to work in a store that had 5 cats. I didn't know if I was going to be able to deal with it, but the store was airy enough that I was able to work with 5 cats. It was pretty phenomenal. So I just sat back and observed. And everyone told me what cats think.
Yes.
It's like, okay, all right. So they know what cats think. All right, good for them. I'm totally mistaken about what cats think because I have no idea what cats do. And my intuition told me that cats would not think what they're thinking. So I went, well, 90% or 99% of individuals told me what cats were thinking, told me how they, performed or whatever they were doing.
Yeah.
And my intuition said, no, I don't agree. So I thought, well, it's too many people disagreeing with me. I must be wrong. So one day I'm sitting there and this woman starts talking about this particular cat named Cleopatra. And she's sitting up like Cleopatra, on a pedestal. And the woman thinks, says, oh, I know what cats think. And I thought, well, I don't know what cats think. I have no idea what cats think. And I don't even know if they think. And
Yeah.
then this is in my head. I didn't say it out loud because, people got very defensive if you started mentioning that you think something different. So in those days, I was like, ah, I don't need to say anything. Then she starts to get quite close to the cat's face and she says, I know when they want to allow me in their boundaries and when they don't. So I thought, okay, she's getting quite close to that cat. I wouldn't do that. Because if I were the cat, I don't think I'd like it very much. But then I thought, but I know nothing about cats. I always had this little phrase, but I know nothing about cats. And all these people seem to know everything about cats, that cats are part of Wicca. And, I know what they're thinking. I know what they want. I know what they're doing. I know how I can tune in with them. And I would just sit there going, I just don't think they're thinking what you say. It is in my mind, remember, I'm not saying it out loud. And I just don't agree. I must be wrong. So she's getting closer and she's chattering about how much she can connect with animals and how well she communicates with cats. And she's getting closer and closer to Cleo's face. Now she's got her face right up in front of Cleo saying, see, I know exactly what cats want. And I went, I'm totally wrong. Because if I were that cat and I put myself in the cat's position, I would scratch her. And within 2 seconds, Cleo bit her nose
Oh,
and
classic.
drew blood.
Yeah.
And what do you think ensued? Can you guess what ensued, Eloise?
She justified it somehow.
No, she actually yelled at me.
Oh, really?
Turns around and says, why didn't you tell me she was gonna do this? Why didn't you tell me? And I went, I know nothing about cats. You seem to know everything, so why would I tell you what's gonna happen? To me, it was only logical. Stick your face in a cat who you don't know, or a child, or a and
Yeah.
what do you think is gonna happen? Your big, huge face. Her face. So I thought, well. And that's when I really started thinking more and more about nature. That, we think we're, I don't think I read Cleopatra's mind.
No.
I don't think I did that. I just understood nature. I mean, I would scratch her face if she came that close, or I might push her away. If I were a kid, I might have bitten her nose. It seems to me just natural. So these are great things to kind of observe rather than place your own ideas. But of course, you will place your own ideas on the tarot. And the best way to prevent that, obviously, you could take my class and I'll show you lots of different techniques to support you so you're not putting your own personal viewpoint because it really skews the reading. Oh, there's so many things that can ensue when you put your own personality. You can manipulate people. You can, you know, have unconscious intentions, like you want to make money. You know, I was considered the most unpopular reader. And they would say it's because I was dead honest, which was true. You know, somebody would come back 2 weeks in a row and I'd say, what are you doing here? Like, I don't want to see you. I already gave you your reading. There's nothing else I can tell you. Hello. Oh, no. You were so accurate. And I'd be like, yeah, so what else do you need? You know, like, I have nothing else to give to you. Go get your money back from the cash. Like, leave me alone. And some people would insist, you know, and it turned out all they just basically wanted me to keep telling them was, you know, how to live their lives. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. That's not karma I want. So what would happen with people who would come back, I'd become more and more bluntly honest. So they would call me the bluntly honest tarot reader. And most of that was self-preservation, I would say, because I just didn't want that on me. Just go away. I gave you your reading. It's for a year. Nothing's going to change, you know, till you change it. And to change reading, that's a whole other topic on its own that we could discuss one day. But to change reading is not easy. It is quite a difficult process. But, of course, it is absolutely possible. It is possible, but of course, it's your investment in what you will actually do. Most of us don't want to do the very thing that is required. See, I can tell a person exactly what they need to do to, let's say, get healthy, to change their relationship, and they'll turn around and say, "No, I'm not willing to do."
Yeah.
And sometimes, which was fascinating to me, was 10 years later, they can come back and say, I eventually had to do it. I said, you see, it's really hard to change the future. You might be able to do it one day, but you might not be able to do it right now. You're just not willing to go down that road. And that's fine. It's not like you have to be willing in every moment, even if you're having a terrible relationship, even if you have ill health. I mean, I can attest to that personally. You know, I can have times of ill health and I keep working and working, working, despite how many times I'm told, you know, you need a break. You know, you need a break. And I'm not willing to take that road till this week. I'm actually taking a week off next week. So it's going to be, and that's going to be the first time I'm going to be doing absolutely nothing. So I'm very excited. All right. So, you know, should we look at, let me look at a couple of, I'll just bring up a couple of cards that might give us a good sense of feminine and masculine, right? Now remember, the cards are, even if we pick up two single cards, so I've got here the Princess of Wands and the Knight of Discs. I've picked them randomly. So we're just kind of looking at, you know, how these two relate. We know it's the fire element and the earth element. So clearly fire will, you know, dry up the earth, which isn't necessarily bad or good. If the earth is too wet, then it's good to have it dried out. If the earth is too dry and you've got, you know, fire coming in, well, then there's a bit of a problem. You're going to dry it out even more. So we obviously need more cards to describe the relationship. But if we look for a moment, let's say one person is in their feminine and the other person is in their masculine, okay? So it doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter if you're in a male-female body because they're going to pull out different components from the person. So sometimes you can be, let's say it is a male who is the Knight of Wands and the female is the Knight of Discs. It's reversed on the screen, so it's driving me crazy. The Knight of Discs is our earth card and male and or masculine, and the female is the Princess of Wands, okay? Yeah. So when you look at this relationship, I mean, She's obviously young and nubile. He's a little bit more stable. So sometimes this could represent, someone older with a younger woman, but not necessarily. These are the difficulties we fall into. It's like, how do we know? How do we know? Well, of course, you're going to know when you put other cards out. But even if this Princess of Wands is immature, let's say she is, you would have cards that would show that. Let's say you have Two of Cups upside down. It's going to say that she's draining. Why would I say with Two of Cups, she would be draining? Well, the fire would be drying out the water as well, so get too dry. Now, you could also say that his earth would go into the earth would go into the water and absorb it, but doesn't necessarily dry it out. Does that make sense? All right, so now we would look at feminine and masculine. What would this relationship look like? Well, one of the things that would happen is here's this male, nice and grounded. He's financially secure, he's anchored. So he'd always be anchoring her fiery, sort of younger, flitting about energy. And that could be exhausting. Again, you need another card. But just to be a little bit on this maybe intuitive side, or I've described these relationships so often, and it just seems to just turn out so so clear for people. So I feel like I've often found sort of an access point to exactly what the card means. And of course, it's a little bit hard to describe just in a single, video or podcast. It takes hours and hours to really describe the in-depth characters. But because the Knight of Discs, he's in this particular deck, it's the Thoth Tarot. So he's quite stable, his arm is down, the horse is resting. So he's very strongly anchored in the earth. And of course, he could be very attracted by this energetic, fiery, young woman, even young at heart, whether she's not young age-wise, but she would be maybe burning through his cash. So for him, there could be an advantage while he's younger. He could keep up with her, meaning keep up with her spending, keep up with her needs in life. Maybe he could do that. But as they age, it's going to be problematic. You might see a lot of resentment building up. So yeah, it looks all nice and exciting, but she wouldn't be able to anchor him at all. Maybe she wouldn't understand that you got to save for the future, and she'd become resentful
Yeah,
that
he's not
you're,
spending all the money on her.
Yeah, why aren't you giving money? Why are you such a cheapskate? Why are you a hoarder? But he's just anchored. And these are just traditional relationships. These are traditional things that go on. Now, that doesn't mean she doesn't mature and she use her creativity properly. But if someone is starting to date, let's say a male is starting to date the Princess of Wands. Now, I don't care if this is two females, if it's a gay couple that are two females, same thing can happen. If it's two males, same thing can happen. It doesn't matter the sex of the individual. It matters the which whether they're in the feminine or masculine more. So if one person, don't care what sex they are, sits in the Knight of Discs, they're going to have more anchored energy. And the other person is going to be fiery and feminine, right? And traditionally, feminine, sure, in its healthy state, can be multitasking, but add some fire to multitasking, right? You're going to get her doing more and more and more. And between the two of them, there would be a little bit of practicality, pragmatism that would need to come in. So he could be very pragmatic in anchoring his finances, the house, the, you know, the bills, what they're going to do, but he may not know how to deal with this fiery person. So, you know, when I'm doing a reading, I look for, well, what would work together? Well, she's attractive and, you know, very sexy, and she stimulates you not only, you know, in bed, but she would stimulate you with her different creative adventures that come up, but that could open up and start becoming a pit. Like, you know, somebody who likes to keep redecorating the house, that could get really expensive. I don't know about you, yeah. But you and I have been single for years. You know, we consider, like, our masculine goes, no, you're not redecorating that because it's going to cost this. You'd rather put that to your debt or to your savings, yeah. Right?
Yeah. That conversation goes on in your head. And then when it's just you putting up with things.
Yeah, you talk to yourself and think it's totally natural. But when somebody has a lot of money and you're thinking about them or for them, thinking, yeah, but you have so much and you make so much, and you don't have a sense of, well, wait a minute, that's not so good. You can't sit around thinking about other people's money. You need to sit down and have a discussion about money, right? You need to discuss what you're going to do with it. Where are we planning it to go? Because just assuming someone's a cheapskate. You know, this happened in my family. You know, my grandmother used to complain that my grandfather wasn't giving her things to do things. And I'd look at her and go, yeah, but you travel, you go down to Florida, you've traveled around the world, you've got a car, you've got a home, you've got clothing, you've got all this stuff. Like, what else do you want? And she's like, oh, no, he just holds back. He won't give me the money. I have to ask for the money. I'm like, well, yeah, you have to ask and see whether, you know, this is something you can spend on right now. Is it possible? What can we do? And once he died, she was cheaper than he was. It was so funny. It was like so like frugal and careful. And I'm looking at her like, oh, you've changed a lot since you had to take care of the money. And she goes, yeah, I've realized a lot. She did realize a lot. She realized that what he was doing was not about her.
Yeah.
It was completely different. It was just a completely different mindset. So I'm describing this because the Knight of Discs would be that kind of person. Very, now, if you're with a man or a woman who's not thrifty with their money, you might have to help them become thrifty if they're the one who is bringing home the bacon. And again, not all relationships are like that. You can have two people bringing home the bacon.
Yeah.
But I've still seen it where the two people bringing home the bacon, the woman's still asking for more. You know, I just find it so bizarre, you know, that, and this does not happen across all marriages. So I'm just talking about traditionally when we get into, let's say, I'm going to generalize here, first 20 years of marriage. It can be very hard on the marriage. Now, of course, this is for these two cards. This is fire and earth. And somebody who's very strongly anchored in the earth and somebody who is younger, a little more reckless, let's say. There's a recklessness that can be affiliated with this feminine. You know, it reminds me of, and I know a lot of people are not going to like this, but of, you know, young people. And it happened in my day too, where, well, it doesn't matter if I wear a mini skirt, nobody should attack me. Here we go back to nature.
Mm.
You know, not every single lion is going to jump every single lioness. They're smelling out which one's going to work. But there's always a psycho. You know, it's not every man in society that belongs to the, you know, the lower part of the bell curve, but those are the ones we've got to watch out for. It's not every man. Now, the other thing is you wear a mini skirt and your legs are, you know, you got it right up to the top of your legs. people are going to look. I don't know, when somebody's in front of me and their butt's sticking out, my eyes go there. I'm not attracted or anything. It's like, whoa, a butt. Okay. And yet, you know, men are not supposed to look. Come on. Come on. It's your responsibility. You can go out any way you want. You can decide. But you're not about to control other people's perceptions. You're not going to control where someone looks. Wear a bag over yourself. You want to, you know, avoid people looking at your body. But when you're showing off your body, it always surprises me. Even flirtatiousness, you know, when women flirt and they get the, I don't know why this guy is talking to me. That would be very much the Princess of Wands, you know, when she goes a bit awry. I don't know why everybody's attracted to me. I don't do anything. Meanwhile, the skirt's right up to here, legs wide open, you know, G-string showing, boobs sticking out. And I don't know why guys are going for me. You know, I'm not trying to draw attention to myself. Okay. Maybe I'll believe you that you're not trying to, but how you're dressing is going to draw attention.
Mm.
Right? How you're, you know, there are a lot of women who are very sensual and they draw attention quite quickly to men. Sensuality, meaning they may not be wearing makeup, they may not be seductive in their dress, but they're so sensual.
Mm.
That they're just amazing. They could be wearing jeans and a baggy t-shirt. They could be 50 or 60 and their sensuality oozes and it is noticeable, right? So that's very different than some sexuality coming out. Sexuality is more masculine, which a lot of, you know, that's the new thing about in the world, right? Is to be sexual. Most of the whole Instagram posing is sexual. It's not sensual. I don't know if people know the difference, but, you know, sexual is going to be the very visual, boobs, bum, legs, midriff, very, very sexual photos, right? And even the changes in the body, surgery, usually is sexual in nature. But a sensual woman can, you know, never wear makeup, do nothing to their body, meaning adjusting it. And they are so sensual, very, very sensual. And they don't wear seductive clothing but their whole body and energy just moves in a particular way. And I'm always kind of, I admire women who are very sensual. I think you and I, because we've had our years of, you know, work and the kind of work that we do, our sensual is more in our intuition. That's when we go into our feminine. So very different. But some people just have an ability to be supported by the masculine in different ways and have this beautiful sensuality coming out. It's just different energies. I don't think it's a big deal, but different energies. So she would be extremely sensual as well. Extremely sensual, but the knight's going to have to pay for it. Yeah, that doesn't mean there wouldn't be a maturation process through the relationship, but I would say that would be their strongest difficulty. She may never be satisfied. You know, she could jump from one, you know, creative endeavor to another.
Mm.
Now, of course, that doesn't mean that there aren't other cards that are going to help us see the intensity of the relationship and what goes on. But these are two common features that I see. So I don't necessarily agree with everything I say because it's going to vary. This is my experience. This is how I intuit this. This is how I've interpreted the masculine and feminine. And over years, and you know, what is it, 50 years of doing this, it's come to pass in that way, as much as people have gotten up and yelled at me for telling them exactly the way it is. No, that's not going to bother me. No, yeah. I love her. I love her fire and her sensuality. And I'm like, yeah, I know you do. And I can see it's beautiful. But I'm telling you, it's going to be your nemesis eventually. Because we, you know, when we're at a particular age, when you're 30 years old, you don't think about what you're going to feel like at 60. You don't know. As you get to your 40s and you're coming to the culmination of the most intense work periods of your life. You know, I've met people who are, you know, multimillionaires, and they're going through their 40s and, 20s, 30s, 40s, and they're building their empires. They've got apartment buildings and condos and whatnot. Now, that doesn't mean through their 60s they wouldn't be able to continue. Some do. But once you've built up a comfort zone and you don't need to actually go to work to earn your keep, your rent, et cetera, you've got money that is creating itself, and your kids are taken care of, they're grown up, they've got their own jobs, you can shift your focus.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of them who are retiring, you know, and in their 50s, right? It's so different. So there's retirement coming on, and wanting to slow down, enjoying life. And yet I was thinking, oof, they're fireballs. I can't do it anymore. I don't know how they are, but I was already 5 or 6 years older than them, and I'm watching them go and not remembering that I was a spitfire as well. And now I can't do what I used to do.
Oh.
It's not possible. It that my health, suffers if I, go 7 days a week, which I often do, and then, I crash. So we don't realize what's going to happen later. We don't know when we're going to crash or not crash.
Yeah.
And that's, that's another thing with this is another hard aspect. I mean, I could bring up so many subjects, but women are hypergamous, which means we want to marry up. Of course, since the 60s, things have changed a lot. Like I'm a product of the 60s. So no, I'm not going to get married. I'm going to be independent. I'm going to, fend for myself. And I see how differently I live than single men live. Single men, didn't travel as much. And I go, why wouldn't you travel? They didn't take time off as much.
Mm-hmm.
Like to go on my journeys that I wanted to go on, live in India for 6 months, go here, go there, go to different teachers. Some do, but a lot live very meager lives. Not that I didn't, but save and save and save, and kind of end up in a different place than I did. I'm not saying every one of them did. I know a lot who didn't do it. But very often, many of them did. Of course, we know statistically that married couples do better than, generally, right? Married couples do better than single. And I would have said that doesn't make sense when I was younger. And now I see, of course. The minute I started, living with my partner and we were, doing things together, you could just see the simplicity of growth. Like we have a home, we have a rental property. This is all in 8 years. We've already started, investing, and we're building it up. Of course, we did it late in life, still late. I mean, this was in my 50s, this all started. But you can see the difference. So I thought, if I did this in my 20s, I'd be in a very different position than I would be in now. But my generation was like, rah, 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 get married late or not get married at all.
Mm.
And I see it in many younger women. But I live in a place where marriage, there is no marriage really here.
Yeah.
amongst the general population.
Yeah.
If anyone knows about Quebec, the church fell in the 50s. Basically, you know, there was no more religion because religion was controlling the populace, as they, you know, like to say, and now it's just government controls the populace. So it's just converted from one to the other. You know, we all think that we free ourselves from one, not realizing that the freedom comes within, that our own freedom is only the freedom from our own thinking. You know, even when you look at people, oh my God, the hubbub around vaccines and the anti-vaxxers and the pro-vaxxers. And the, it's like, come on, guys, you know, you better tune into what you need for yourself and stop this conflict. But they won't, right? I'd love it if it happened, but we won't. We're constantly, this is the way the world works. We have to be in conflict. That's why I focus in the tarot on difficulties. Because those are the very things that help us grow up, you know. Otherwise, I'm just giving you a pleasant reading. Well, that's fine, but you know, it's boring. Just get a, just get a reading online. Just they're free. Just read your cards online. But if you really want to see what is troubling you, what your obstacle is, and what you need to work with to be able to make those practical changes in your life, it's not easy, as I said, but you'll have a focus. I don't know how many people, I'm going to repeat myself, got mad at me. And 10 years later, I get phone calls and emails like, oh my God, I realized it, but it took me 10 years. Yeah. So yeah, I kind of notify people this is going to be a 10-year period or a 20-year period, or you may never do it this lifetime, but good time to start, you know?
Yeah.
And all of your problems would probably come back to this. I mean, it's not like you can identify the exact obstacle and exactly what you need to do, but you could give a sense of what the obstacle is. Like, let's say this guy, the Knight of Discs, you know, ends up with someone that's like, oh my God, she never stopped. She's always, you know, she burns me out. You know, usually those are the words you hear. Like, I'll say, oh, does she burn you out? And they'll go, yes, exactly. That's what I say all the time. You burn me out. You tire me out. I feel spent. So you can notify him, well, that's not going to stop till you decide to say it stops and see how the relationship pans out. Most people, you know, Eloise and I have done a video on attracting relationships. You know, you can always go and check that out, but I'll give you a little tip. If you are asking for someone to behave the way you want them to behave, or you've met someone and you think they're going to fit into your script, you got another thing coming. What you need to do is say, this is what I want, but your whole energy dynamic tells, you don't even need to verbalize it, but it, when you do verbalize it, it helps you see what you don't want. So if I want all these things and then I meet Joe Blow and Joe Blow doesn't do it, I'm like, okay, that guy's not for me.
Mm.
Now, usually the exact opposite happens. I made the list of everything I want and I got Joe Blow. But what, you know, why isn't he texting me the way I want him to? Why isn't he bringing me flowers the way I want him to? Why isn't he? Well, because he's the wrong guy. You have to say no. Oh no, but I'm so attracted to him. I know he's the one. Well, you're wrong. He's not the one. And to me, I don't need a card reading to do that. It's obvious because you've got a list of complaints. So you get this list of all the things you'd like in a relationship and how a relationship should look. And here comes Joe, and Joe does the exact opposite. Well, he's not the one. You don't need a reader. It's not rocket science. It's so easy. He's not the one. Move on. You know, so every time you know, for me, all the no doors are leading me to the yes door. So, okay, this guy's not, you know, oh, this guy doesn't have a job. Oh, this guy, he works sort of, he's 9 to 5 or there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not what I want. I don't want a 9 to 5er. I don't know what I would do with a 9 to 5er. You know, they would work 9 to 5, 5 days a week. And I don't know what I would do with that. Like, nothing would fit. I'm not a 9 to 5er. I work late. I'm not going to have dinner on the table. I work 7 days a week. I need somebody who's going to, you know, work at the same, in the same way.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what I got. Somebody who's a 9-to-5er. There's a 90-10 rule. Someone who 10% of the people do 90% of the work and 90% of the people do 10%. I could never be married to someone who's 90% who only does 10%. I couldn't. We'd be fighting all the time. You know, like I'd be hearing, oh, you know, you don't want to spend money. And can I have some money to go to the corner store to buy this or that? I have actually a friend that happened to. She married. She's one of the 10% who does 90% of the work. And she married somebody who is part of the 90% who does 10%. It was inevitable. It was going to fail. Yeah. And she couldn't do it. She was divorced within 6 months of the marriage.
Wow. Yeah.
We actually laid bets on how long, it's terrible, but how long the marriage would last. They were just the odd couple, you know. Yeah. And it doesn't mean you wouldn't have an odd couple. Like when I look at, you know, the Joy of Cooking lady, what was her name? There's a film.
I don't know.
Joy of Cooking, she's so famous. Anyway, she's really kind of tall and kind of fat, and her husband was, you know, a little shorter and skinny, and they loved each other a lot. Supposedly, I watched the film, and I was like, oh, look at that odd couple. But they worked out.
Mm.
You know, they worked out really nicely. They had a good marriage. They loved each other. So many ways in which we can look at on the surface that something works, but when someone starts saying, I'm like this and he's like that, and it doesn't match up at all. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to have the exact same interest, you know, not a superficial kind of thing, but really looking at where your essence comes from. So if I'm the kind of person who's going to do 90% of the work and I'm with somebody who's going to do 10%, this could be grating on the nerves.
Mm.
I mean, definitely I wouldn't want to live in the same house. I wouldn't want to. You live in your house, I live in mine, we'll visit each other. Otherwise, you're going to get on my nerves. You know, running around doing the gardening, the taking out the garbage, cooking, cleaning, working, making all the money, doing all the repairs, calling all the repairmen, doing all of that, and he's not doing anything? And in your 20s, you can think it does work. Your 20s,
I think in your 20s, you just pick someone almost. It's like you fancy them a little bit more than when you get older. I don't know.
Maybe. When I was in my 20s, I picked two nice guys. I still like them. I still think they're nice. We had a few differences that I couldn't really be with. And those were kind of the line that cut the relationship off. But apart from that, I like them, you know.
Yeah.
They turned out okay. You know, they turned out to be decent husbands and decent providers. And still, I would look and go, I'm glad I'm not married to them. But not that they are in any way bad, you know. They're just... we have differences, that's all. So that's a very strong thing that also is good to look at. You know, if you really know what you want, and if something comes up that you can't handle in a relationship, it could be you, right? So that's really important to know. Like if I'm going into a relationship and it's all about me, the problem I see in the other, I need to regulate that because the other could be just fine. Mm. It could be all about me. Let's say I'm the girl who wants the guy to spend all his money. I don't want to go to work. I want you to give me whatever I need. I'm going to raise your kids. So I am woman. Hear me roar. You should do all these things for me. And when I want to go to work, or if we get divorced, you're going to give me, you know, more than everything because I spent all these times raising your children. That's a problem. That's a problem. Of course, there's a reality of the situation, which is you're building a life together. The husband, let's say, is working. Now, this could be two females, could be two males too. The husband is working and providing, and the two of you are building. Well, yeah, you should split everything. Maybe. Well, here we have no-fault divorce, so it gets divided down the middle from the day you got married to the day you divorce. There's no argument. No. Like, you don't really go to court for anything.
Okay. It's just, no prenup.
No, there's no prenup. It's just, let's say you get married April 21st, 2021. Whatever assets you come into the marriage with, and everything you build up, whatever assets you come into the marriage with, are yours.
Yep.
They're yours. They can't touch it. Nobody can touch your assets before the marriage. But from that day to the day you divorce, every asset acquired is split.
Yeah.
So if I own the house before I get married, I own it, it stays in my name.
Yeah.
If we buy a new property together, then it's together.
Yeah. Whereas we have random arguments about everything. I had a boyfriend who I didn't ask to move in with him, me. He just moved in temporarily and then stayed. I couldn't get rid of him. And then when he finally did move out, he was like, I own half the house. I was like, what? No, you don't, mate.
Well, that is scary, right? That's one of the things, you know, where you always watch for if you're living with someone, you know, will it become common law? Because if it does, then they take half.
Yeah.
Right.
But
here we don't have, if you don't have kids together, you can't divide anything. Right. So there's an incident that a very wealthy man here, you know, with tons of money, like tons. I think he's a name designer in any case. He separates finally from his girlfriend. So they have kids together, this massive house. And I think she was spending $50,000 a month. I think that's the the amount of money. So she actually takes him to court, which you can do. You can obviously sue someone. Precedent was set. And she said to this woman, you cannot take $50,000 a month. You can only get your child support. Yeah. He's paying for the home. And if he wants you to live there, that's fine. You needed to either have a prenuptial agreement, you needed to, or even pre-live-in agreement. Like, I'm going to have your kids. This is the agreement for what I do. You didn't do any of that. You didn't take responsibility for any of that. That's your problem. And, I was like blown away that the judge did that. Yeah. I didn't imagine that the judge, and it was a female judge, I didn't imagine she would do that. You know, she's just like, no, this has to stop. Women can't just go around making these decisions in their lives and not taking responsibility for, okay, I'm going to bring up the kids. What are we going to do? Am I going to have a bank account? Am I going to save my money? No, I'm just going to get $50,000 a month that I get to spend, and I'm not going to do anything for myself. Like, let's agree that, you know, we own a house together and just start some agreements. It's very bizarre, very bizarre. But, you know, this is the transition that needs to happen, because there are plenty of women and men, or women and women and men together, these relationships where they're making these proper decisions, right? You have to take responsibility. But if you're the princess of wands, I would say that's going to be hard. She's going to be quite flighty about what she does with her money. She's going to go, oh, well, whatever, whatever. And then when the day comes, she's going to start screaming because she's got fire. She's going to say, no, 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 you owe me this, no, you're that. He owes you nothing.
Yeah.
He owes you nothing, unless you're married and the laws of the area, whatever. Like California, the woman can take everything and leave the guy basically destitute.
Oh.
Yeah, in California, I heard that there was a man who dated a girl, and quite a few years later, he gets a court notice that he owes child care. Child support. And he's like, but I don't have a child. And he goes to court and they say, this woman declared you father of this child. And he says, but I haven't seen her for like 3-4 years. Yeah. And they go, doesn't matter. This 2-year-old baby. I didn't see her for 3-4 years, but this 2-year-old baby
so
is yours.
To do with.
He did a DNA test. And still, he's not the father. They know he's not the father. It didn't matter. He had to pay child support.
That's insane.
For 18 years. 18 years.
Don't move to California. That's insane.
Yeah, for men, California sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even get it. I if I were a man, I'd never get married in California.
Yeah.
Or divorced. Like
Top
I
tips
just
too.
Would move. Yeah, I'd move everything to, if I were a man, I'd just move everything to another state, you know, clear everything out, move to another state, get her to, and she could try and follow. I don't know what you could do, but I'd try to find some way out of it. But a lot of men, they go through this hell. It's hell where the woman takes more, you know, more than half, which is ridiculous. Together you built up something during the marriage, take half. Yeah. Before the marriage, whatever each of you came in with. I mean, I kind of like our law.
Yeah.
You know, what you came in with is yours. Whatever you do during the marriage, okay. You got to split it 50-50.
Yeah.
That's it. And then you're out. It's like 2 years and you're divorced.
Mm.
Like you just separate for 2 years and then everything's divided. You can't complain. Of course, if one has the child more than the other one needs to pay child support, and it doesn't matter. Like I know women who are paying child support to men.
Mm.
You know, it's very equal opportunity here for payments of things. So interesting. All right. So that's a lot of information and fun stuff. Now I'm going to have to go listen to, you know, the news and podcasts to find out what else is going on and apply it to the tarot. Go read some books. All right, my love. Well, have a great week.
Yeah,
and see you all next week, even though we're going to get some dates crossed here. But that's okay. Podcast will be, what's the date again for the podcast?
Today? 5th of May.
It's the 5th of May, but it will go out on video the 21st of April.
Confusing.
Yeah, I just thought, you know what? Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, we just need people to be joining in. I want to hear some comments. The only comment I got was someone saw the video last week and just jumped on and said, oh, Darianne, your readings are amazing. Everything you said came true. And then I got another gal calling in who said, you said my house would sell in 2 weeks. And it did. And I'm like, oh, okay, really cool. That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
So I was like really excited that people were responding to the video. So we'll see how it all goes. We're just going to inundate all of you, even if it's different dates, so that we can hear what you have to say. Now, you don't have to sit around saying, I did a wonderful reading. That was the first response. But you can ask questions. You can see what topics you'd like me to cover. I wander all over the place with different information in my brain, but you can focus me and we can have some fun. All right, everyone, and bye, Eloise, and thank you for listening.
Cool. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye.